Testing. Mati, good evening.
Hello, Pastor. Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing really good.
Good.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Good. Tell me about it. These are good news stories. What does I'm doing really good mean?
Just reading more of the Word. Already finished New Testament, going back through Old Testament because I haven't fully read through all the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Just really because like I said, like the first time I read through the Bible, it was just kind of like, oh yeah, you know. And it's just like when I go back through it again, I'm just like, I miss so much stuff. And it's crazy, like how much, yeah, it's like crazy how much you miss. And I'm just like, you know, I was asked by my grandfather today. He basically said he didn't really understand Exodus and, you know, Genesis. And I was like, I explained to him what I understood. What I understood that is, you know, the power, you know, the reverence, how sovereign the Lord is, how he does not tolerate sin, how he has a specific way of being worshipped and it must be followed. Just really understanding how the Lord works, because there is no, you know, no curves, or, you know, it's all just straight to the point, like it's this or nothing else. You know, that's mm-hmm. what I got, you know, from reading, you know, Genesis and Exodus and stuff like that. Just, you know, the fact that you can't even look God in the face, you'll die, and, you know, just the steps we had to take just to be in his presence. And what makes it even more better, too, is that the fact that he wanted to be in our presence. He's like, I want to be with you guys, but you guys have to follow this. You have to follow this, mm-hmm. and then I can be with you guys. So once mm-hmm. I was kind of like reading through that and really learning and stuff like that, you know, and really understanding, you know, the fact you got to renew your mind, you got to renew, you know, mm-hmm. just everything, you know, because I got to be real with you, man. Like, you know, Pastor, without God, I'd probably go mad. And it just shows you how much madness I was living in and was so accustomed to because I didn't have God. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always had God, but I didn't, like, you know, I didn't try to have a relationship with him. And then now I'm just like, I see the difference between living with him and living, you know, doing your own thing and following your own path. And it's just mm-hmm. nothing but pure madness. So I'm just kind of just sitting there. I'm just like, man, like I just learning more and more, like to rely on him, to need him. And he's been showing up, you know, definitely blessing us and stuff like that and taking care of us. And, you know, I get it. You know, I'm starting to understand it. You know, mm-hmm. it's a process.
Oh, let me out. Oh, really?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, hey, everybody. Sorry.
God bless you. You've got quite an entry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all right. We know you're here. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
I think that was the baby in the background. But go ahead, mm-hmm. Lachie was just explaining where he's at and, you know, what's working and how he's learning about his relationship. Go ahead, Lachie.
Amen.
But yeah, just you know, trying to really, you know, get to that point where, you know, I fully rely on God, and just the Lord is like showing me, you know, that I need him. That's like, hey, Lati, like, this is like, you need to rely on me, you know, especially, you know, what the world is and how expensive things are and just how the, you know, the economy is. And just like, you know, it's a slow process. It's difficult. It's a growth. It's like growing pains, but it's like, also at the same time too, you know, he's building my endurance up. He's building up my strength and my, you know, mental fortitude and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just, it's a lot. It's a lot of stuff that I'm realizing and seeing, you know, when it comes to, you know, having God in my life.
Yeah, that's powerful. That's very sure. powerful. You know, I love that because it does take time for you to start really getting it. It's not mm-hmm. like, you know, I think a lot of people think it's a magic pill, you know, when they come to Christ. They think, okay, I take this, I do this, and then everything is well. Everything's going to be fixed. And in all reality, it is. But it's being fixed over a process of time as we learn how to live differently, because, you know, when the Bible says you reap what you sow, you could be as saved as saved can be, but still be doing some things that's causing you to reap things that you don't understand, that the two things are connected. You know,
yes.
If I'm a wife beater, right? And I'm thinking, okay, I'm saved now, but I don't realize beating my wife is a problem. And I can't understand why sometimes I'm coming, you know, I'm leaving out the house with a black eye. And you know, but I reaped what I sowed, and I sowed into some things. And the difference being, as we take on the mind of Christ, we begin to sow differently. We began to speak differently to people. We learned how to navigate the terrain differently. And I think that that's when we start seeing the powerful benefits. It's like that life study that we had a couple of weeks ago where we talked about principles, right, to become a principal. Following, using certain things that the Bible has given us in order to become the head and not the tail. Because as long as we don't apply any principles, we're still worldly and just thinking that we're, you know, just thinking we're holy.
Yes.
The principles are what make you holy. Praise the Lord. So thank you for that. I also got a chance to listen in. Uh-huh, please.
Yeah. And then another thing, too, it just kind of like popped in my head, but somebody said this. I forgot who said it, but like the Bible is a training manual. It's like training you. You know, and that right there really stuck with me, because I'm like, I'm seeing that. It's like, you know, doing, you know, repetitious, you know, type of like working out. It's like really, you know, building your, you know, spiritual muscle, you know. So that really resonated with me when that person said that it was a training manual. So I'm like, yes, it is. Because with a training manual or any type of training, you know, you go through the, you know, the difficulty. Mm-hmm. But like through that difficulty, you get stronger. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good way of looking at it, and that's exactly what it is. I call it a retraining manual.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
Because some folks trained us; they just didn't train us right.
Exactly.
They taught us how to what they knew to the best of their ability. Hey, Sister Hawanda, God bless you.
Yeah,
and
family.
Hello.
How you
doing,
my brother?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm actually at the church volunteering, but I'm on Bible study. I stepped back and...
Oh, praise the Lord. Look at you, awesome women of God. Man, you are
Hallelujah. Busy
being a blessing, and I couldn't be any more blessed to be part of New Covenant Church of Christ.
Yes.
We have really grown, and we have really stepped up to the plate to do what the Lord has called us to do, and I'm flabbergasted by it all. I really am.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah. So Sister Angela, let me come to you now. How was your week? How did you feel about doing Bible study? Share some things with us and tell us what, because I heard a piece of the Bible study and Lati came in with my God, yeah. I heard him singing. I'm going, I didn't even know Lati sang. And Lati was singing and filled with joy. It was a pleasure to listen to. So, Sebastian, talk to us.
My week went very, very well. Just had a dream that kind of like put me in a spot that I was shocked that I seen such a thing. But I know being prophetic, it's not always going to be peaches and cream. It's going to be the truth. And it is what it is. So I'm learning that part of my gift. It's not going to be the peaches and cream all the time. It does come with the ugliness, and, you know, it is what it is. So I'm learning that part in my gift. So also when we had, I'm going to say we had more of a conference call than anything. I got to really, really know my sister Hawanda. I really got to know Sister Tara.
Hallelujah.
I really got to know where my son is in his walk. So I'm just very thankful, because it brought me closer, you know. And I think I'm about to cry. That's crazy. But it brought me closer to all four of them. I mean, all three of them. And it was just a beautiful, intimate conference call, I'm going to say. It was very mm-hmm. intimate. It was very transparent. It was lifting up one another. And I think that is a very, very good thing to do, just to recap and all that other stuff, you know, going forward. So
mm-hmm.
I had a very beautiful time. So it was very good.
Awesome. Awesome. I hope everybody else had the same thing, the same experience. What about
Absolutely.
You, Susan Wanda?
Absolutely. It was very powerful, and I'm glad my sister stepped up to take the lead in that. And it was very beautiful, and I can just really piggyback off of what she said. It was more intimate, where it don't have to be, you know, a full group. It was just the right amount of us, you know, to be able to pour into each other and to glean and learn from each other as well. So it was very beautiful and fulfilling. And yeah, it couldn't have been any better. And all glory mm-hmm. to the Most High, because Holy Spirit definitely was very present and showed up.
Mm.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to give God a hand clap praise on my end, because every time I'm not there, I'm always worried about not being there. But mm-hmm. I think that we have grown to a point that any one of you can lead a Bible study.
Amen.
Any one of you could, because you have grown, you can expound, you can expand, you can bring context and contextuality to any scripture, and you should be confident, and you should be strong in the Lord with that, because that's when He begins to do great things through you. And if there was ever a time on the planet when God needed a few good men or women, it is now.
Hallelujah.
He needs some good men and some good women to walk through. So glory to God. We are going to go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask you again. Well, not again, but you guys been seeing what's been trending on Facebook about that pastor's wife's dress?
Yeah.
Did you see?
What happened?
Pastor, you should have seen this dress. You should have seen the dress. Everybody's mm-hmm. in cahoots. Everybody's talking Bible. People are talking about this is the new age stuff. It was a pastor. I don't know. He's a mega church, I think, in Atlanta, Georgia, or something like that.
Yes.
And he bought his wife a dress that was very form-fitting. It was black, and then it had like a nude color, but it had a pattern that pointed to her private area. And the pastor you guys, yeah, the pastor brought the dress for his wife, and he's a very prominent pastor. He's got a mega church and everything, and he got on, I guess it raised an uproar online, religion against a relationship. And a lot of people have been, he's been on the Tamra show and all that other stuff, and you got people saying it was good that, you know, she wore the dress, she could wear what she want to wear, and us church folks shouldn't be wearing long, bland, whatever, and then not, you know, right. She said she dressed for her husband, and that was it. So it was a whole bunch of, it was a war about that, and I just, all I kept saying was, read your Bible. I don't know if you're reading the right Bible, or I'm not reading the right Bible that y'all are reading, but you need to read your word.
Right, absolutely. And so what are our thoughts about that? What biblically covers that? Is there a scripture specific that we should, I mean, there are tons of them, but is there a specific scripture that addresses that? Anybody?
One came to my mind. I'm just trying to remember the name.
Okay, I'm listening.
Yeah, no, I'm actually trying to look for it.
You're trying to find it? Okay.
Yeah.
Try Romans 14:13.
Okay. The pastor told everybody that women and men who came against it and came with the word of God were haters and jealous and mm-hmm. we weren't, we didn't say anything about him raising $5 million for the HBCUs.
HBCUs.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that his wife prayed and brought heaven down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is all good because all that's in our reading tonight, praise the Lord.
No, but I had to ask you that question, Dad. I've been waiting.
Yeah, it's actually part of what we're reading tonight. You'll
praise
see
God.
The part about even Satan came as an angel of light. You'll see that tonight. You'll see that he's a supple God for a bunch of complicated people. But you'll also, but that part that, hey, Dewan, God bless you.
Look out for you, buddy.
I found it. God bless.
So the scripture we're talking about, Romans 14:13, you got it? What does it say?
I found the one that came to my mind while Mom brought it up.
Okay, go ahead.
So 1 Peter 3, it said, you should clothe yourselves instead with beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious to God.
Mm-hmm. That's a specific scripture to women.
Yep.
Okay, I have
that. That scripture is specific. You've got 14:13. Let's read that.
Yes, sir. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling blocks or obstacles in your brother's way.
Mm-hmm. Right? So before we go any deeper into this, let's have prayer. I'm going to ask Sister Hawanda, are you able to do prayer?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We just magnify you. We lift you up. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise that's due to you. We ask that you come on in the room, Holy Spirit. We give you permission to take over. Hallelujah. Bring every spirit subject to Holy Spirit. Bring us together on one accord in unity and love. Hallelujah. That we may have a Pentecostal move. Hallelujah. That this Bible study will be transformational. Hallelujah. That we will be filled mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially with the gifts that only come from you, with the anointing, hallelujah, that destroys yokes. Hallelujah. Help us to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. We come to ask you for help on today. Help, help, help. Help us. Help your children, hallelujah, that we change, hallelujah, that we are willing to submit everything to you, that we give everything to you, because those of us who are willing to hide our light under a bushel, hallelujah, we may find ourselves in disobedience in this season. So I pray right now that we begin to look at ourselves in the mirror and see our reflection in you, knowing that our identity is not in the world and what the world say about us and the things that we've been through, that you said we are a new creature. And oh, because we are a new creation, the old things have passed away, and behold, all things have been made new. So allow us to see ourselves in the newness that you have for us, that we will no longer keep ourselves small and keep ourselves in bondage. Hallelujah. That we will no longer hinder ourselves from moving forward, for not seeing ourselves the way that you see us. So I pray right now that you increase our confidence, that you increase our faith, that you help us. Hallelujah. Help us, help us, help us, because we need you. And we just ask you to come in like a mighty rushing flood, because we can't do this thing by ourselves. So we do ask that we continue to examine ourselves daily. Hallelujah. That we may allow you to be the one to pluck up, hallelujah, uproot and destroy and bring up those things, hallelujah, that would like to hold us bound and keep us in bondage, that we may surrender it all to you, so we can be a healed people that heal people in this season. Hallelujah, that we can move forward, hallelujah, to be the one, hallelujah, that you said will do the greater works, hallelujah. And if there's anything in us that will hinder our belief from believing that we can do the greater works, we ask that you pluck it up and that you take it out, hallelujah. Do a new thing in us in this season, hallelujah. Give us a new walk, give us a new talk, hallelujah. Help us to walk worthy of the call that you have placed on our life. Help us to be good stewards of the gifts that you have given us, that we use them to only build the kingdom of Yah, that we don't use them in ways that will be harmful or hurtful or deceptive other ways in the world, because we know that you said that gifts come without repentance. So forgive us if we have used your gifts that you've given us to be to edify the world and not the body. Hallelujah. Forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. Wash us, cleanse us, and purge us, and make us new in you. Hallelujah. We thank you for what's about to take place in on this Bible study. We thank you for the minds that will be renewed. We thank you for the strength that will be restored. We thank you that the broken heart will be mended. Hallelujah. We thank you for doing a new thing. Hallelujah. I thank you for bringing my apostle and evangelist back safely from off the road. I thank you for using them for a time such as this. I thank you that because they were given the eulogy, that souls did not run from you because of it, that they ran to you. Hallelujah. That their lives will be changed and transformed, that they will seek after you. Hallelujah. As the author and finisher of their faith, knowing that they can do nothing without you and they can do everything with you. So I thank you for moving for them and through them. I thank you for placing us in alignment with what you have for us in this season, that we will no longer miss the call. Hallelujah. So I pray right now for a keen sense of discernment, that you give all of us a keen sense of discernment, that we identify the enemy from afar, that we call those things out. Hallelujah. And that we have more compassion and love for your people. Hallelujah. That we leave no one behind in this season. Hallelujah. That we have a yearning in our spirit that souls may be saved, that we don't see the, that we don't call a person, take it out on the person, that we take it out on the spirit and call those things out that, that no longer serve the people, hallelujah, that are oppressed, hallelujah. We tell the spirit of oppression to flee from your people. The spirit of depression must flee. The spirit of anxiety must flee. The spirit of our possession must flee in this season. Flee from your children, hallelujah, that we can be made whole. We desire to be made whole in you, so don't just deliver us. Make us whole all over again, knowing that in the whole body, hallelujah, no unclean thing can dwell there. So we thank you, hallelujah, for what you are doing and about to do for us. And we thank you that victory is already our portion, because you paid it all. Hallelujah. So help us to walk in the victory no matter what it looks like. How and we thank you. Hallelujah. We decree and declare. We decree and declare that something good is happening for us in this year. Hallelujah. And we confess that we are grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful. So don't let us lose the mind and the heart to have an attitude of gratitude. Let us be thankful in all things. Hallelujah. Knowing that you don't make no mistakes. Hallelujah. So we thank you. We thank you for building us up. We thank you for building us up and not tearing us down. I thank you for strengthening us where we may feel weak. Hallelujah. We thank you for encouraging the discouraged in this season. We pray for those around the nation who you have given charge over people. We pray for the governmental systems and everybody that's in leadership, that they no longer abuse your people, that they be subject to Holy Spirit somehow, some way, knowing because you are in control of everything. So we pray right now that you take control of the nation. Hallelujah. Take control of the nation. Hallelujah. And help us to get what you're saying. Help us to see the good in everything. Hallelujah. That we may be lifted up. Hallelujah. That we would no longer complain in this season. So we thank you. And we magnify you, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. These things we ask in Yahshua's mighty name. Hallelujah. So be it. It is.
Amen. I want us to make 2026 the year that we're in it to win it.
Yes, I received that.
Amen. Make this the year that you are in it to win it. You've been in training for a long time.
Yes, we have.
At some point, you got to run the race. The training, at some point, is for the purpose of running the race. You know, that's why the Bible says we run the race all. Everybody's in this race. Some folks are going to win it. Some ain't going to finish.
Come on.
I mean, we'll get started. Well, do you know anybody on the planet can run a marathon? It's just that everybody can't finish it.
Yes sir.
Everybody can get on the starting line and run at least a block, but you ain't gonna finish it.
Nope.
Amen.
Yes,
anybody can run a marathon.
Amen.
However, everybody is not meant to finish the marathon. We're here to finish. 2026, the year to be in it, to win it. I think that is our sister, Tara. You just joined?
There's Tara.
Oh, Tara.
Yay.
And Tony.
Yeah.
The Lord.
Hey.
Yeah, we got the whole family. Yeah, we got the
whole
family.
Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord. We just finished our opening prayer. Huh?
No, I was saying praise the Lord. Yes. Sorry.
Praise the Lord, Tara. Yep.
Yes.
Praise the Lord, Brother Irby.
Praise the Lord.
We're going to be in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And I was just sharing with New Covenant Church of Christ. Make 2026 the year to be in it, to win it.
Yes,
I don't know about you, but yeah. At some point, we got to get tired of losing.
Yeah.
We got to get tired of not seeing the manifestations of the things that we've been hoping for, praying for, moving toward, but always seem to run into some stumbling block, some obstacle, some circumstance that just sort of kind of tears up the whole plan. And this is the year to be in it, to win it. God is saying, you can do it this year. You're going to do it this year, but you're going to have to do it with Jesus. You ain't going to do it on your own. Ain't
Come
no sense
on,
in fighting a battle that you've been fighting because you ain't won that hard. And at some point, we learn that if I keep doing the same things and that's not worked, and I keep expecting doing the same thing and getting a different result, at some point, I lost my mind. And now we know why we need the mind of Christ. Because I already know I lost mine because it ain't working. But when I assimilate the mind of Christ, it can't lose. And that's why we're in it to win it in 2026. We were just talking about something that sort of kind of went viral. And it was about a pastor's wife who had on a dress that was sort of kind of skinny.
I know what you're talking about, yes.
And so I was asking people, you know, what do you think? Was that right? Was it wrong? Because
it was wrong. It was wrong. Look, I want to say this. He said he bought the dress for her. And then I keep hearing people say that's why they don't go to church, because the pastor don't be speaking the word. But like I'm telling people, it's not about if he's speaking the word. If you know the word, that's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing that matters. But to worship him, go. You can go anywhere else. So, yes. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that dress, it was out of order. Yes, it was.
And let's talk about that out of order part. Because we need to know this as believers. You can be delaying all of your blessings from God based on that same thinking that that guy has, right? So we asked everybody to look up some scriptures. One of them was in Romans that said, what did it say? Who was that had that one? Romans. Okay, let's use that scripture real quick. And I want everybody to hear this. This is so important. And this is not religious talk we're having tonight. We're talking in it to win it talk. This is realistic talk. And it's realistic in the sense that we've been in the world, right? We all know that. Most of us.
Yes.
Everybody, maybe not, but most of us have been in the world. Here's what happens when you're in the world. You get inundated by the things of the world. You get trained in the world. And you believe in that world until it stops working. You start going, okay, I believed in this, but it's just not doing it. You know, I believe it was okay to slap my wife, but it ain't working. You know, I believed it was okay to lie and cheat and steal, but it ain't working. I keep going to jail. Why does that happen? When I was told, you know, it's okay. You got, if you got to steal, man, you got to steal. You got to do what you got to do, right? I've been told those things. But I'm doing the things that I got to do, and the things end up doing me after I do them. I don't get it.
Right.
I'm baffled. I'm perplexed. I keep trying to make it work this way, but it won't work. And so there are some things that we do that God is trying to teach us not to do. Latif said something very, very powerful. He said, I'm learning that the Bible is an instruction manual, which is where they get the word B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E Bible, basic instruction book before leaving Earth, right? But I said to him, I said also, it is a reprogrammer. Because when we were in the world, we got programmed, and you got to accept that. If you don't accept that, you never get to the glory of the kingdom. You stay someplace in between. I'm saved, but I'm depressed. I'm saved, but I keep functioning in anxiety. I'm saved, but I don't see hope. I'm saved, but I ain't seeing God move. I'm saved. But things are not changing. That's because I'm in the middle. I'm someplace between the world and the kingdom. And I have to be able to discern and see that some of what I've got, some of what I've done is actually satanic. It's not godly. And I don't mean we're devils and demons and we got horns growing out of our heads and tails and stuff like that. I don't mean that kind of demonic. I don't mean anybody's head is spinning around late at night when they lay down. I'm saying it's satanic. Hey, Sister Donna, God bless you. It's satanic in this sense that if you are not following the principles of God, I have to be following the principles of Satan. Because there's only two sets of principles functioning on this planet.
Okay.
God and Satan's.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to be reading from 2 Corinthians 11. So let's go back to the person. Right, Romans, go ahead and read that, please. Let's go talk about the lady and the church. Please read
Romans 14, verse 13 says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way.
There, right there. Right there, everybody hear that?
Yep.
Right. Okay, so imagine, I want to use your imagination for a minute before we start reading. Right. Imagine the pastor of the church coming up to preach and teach you how to walk in the kingdom of God, how to walk in the spirit, how to be a loving person. The pastor's got a bad attitude. His hair is conked. He's got Jerry Curl juice flowing off his shoulders. He's got on a pimp suit, not a suit. His beard is finally trimmed and he looks like the guy that you meet in the bar.
Okay.
Listen to me good. And he looks like and carries himself like, and when he talks to you, he does not articulate the word of God. He goes, what up, dog? And yeah, hey, boy, you know, hey man, God is good, brother. Look, player, let me tell you something. You want to be a man of God? You're going to have to be just like me. You got to know what is God and what's not.
Yeah.
Because he's a stumbling block. Why is he a stumbling block? Because the people that are coming there for their lives to get better. And the image that he's giving them, right? Because you're an example. Every place you go, everybody get this, please. Every place you go, you're an example of something. People read your walk. They read your talk. Not listen to it and watch you. They read it. If I walked up on everybody and I had a tam on my head and I had an army jacket on and I had a rifle across my chest and I had on a pair of blue jeans, what would you think I was?
A Trump supporter.
Yeah, that's it, right? Yeah. But you think, okay, he's a Black Panther because his image is who he's projecting.
Yeah.
So if I go and I happen to go to preach and I got, and this happened to me, and I want you to catch it.
Okay.
I ran into some people in the mall but right after going to church. And I had just been saved about 6-7 months. And I ran to some people who were anointed. And I was standing in the mall and I had all my really nice shirt unbuttoned down to my belly.
This is good. I have my gold chain on with a big cross on it. My shirt is unbuttoned down to my belly. Pay attention. Gold chain, tight pants. And the man of God looked at me and he said, "You should repent." And I'm looking at him going, "I wonder what he's talking about." He just said nastily. He just said negatively. He just looked at me and said, "Hey, brother, how you doing? I saw you in church." He said, "You should repent." And I walked away going, what's wrong with him? What is he talking about? And then, fortunately, the Lord let me walk past a mirror. And I looked at myself. And I saw a man who was showing off with an ego. I saw a man who was really trying to show off, "Hey, I'm still virile. What do y'all might want me?" I was projecting that. I was not projecting the man of God. Anybody listening?
Yes, sir.
So now let's go back to the person at the church. So if I walk into the church, or if a woman walks into the church and she's got on a dress, now, and if you're new, that can happen. But if you got on a dress and the dress is all the way up to almost your hip, how many people are looking at your legs rather than listening to Jesus? How many people are saying to themselves, "I might want to get with her rather than get with Christ"? How many people stumbling block? When I come home in front of my children, and even when I'm not around my children, because who I am now is who God has made me, right? But when I come home, my children don't see a different man at home than they see at the church. That becomes a stumbling block. They don't hear me cussing my wife out just because she hit a nerve today and ain't nobody around, so let me just give her a piece of my mind. That's a stumbling block. Because it's making other people around me who believe that I love the Lord see that this behavior doesn't match up with what they already know. We shouldn't be there. Anybody listening?
Yeah.
If somebody invites me to come and preach or do a wedding for them, and I figure before I go, I'm going to have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 glasses of wine. And when I'm standing there going over the nuptials, they're also smelling my nuptials. Stumbling block. Does that make sense? So I'm thwarting my blessing. Doesn't mean I don't love the Lord. It's just that I haven't accepted the fact that I'm in the world and I'm not supposed to be of it.
Yes.
What that person said to me in that mall when he said, "You should repent." And he didn't say it mean. He didn't say it. In fact, he had a smile on his face. I thought he was joking. It was a young brother. "Oh, you should repent." Lord, yeah, all right, well, good to see you too. Went on until I walked past that mirror and realized, oh, I see now what he saw. I see what he saw. He's right. How dare we walk around and tell somebody, "I love Jesus." And I'm willing to be a stumbling block and cause them to turn from Jesus. Does that make sense? So the woman, the sister, somebody's just got a little bit of reverberation going. So is everybody following where I'm going so far?
Yeah.
I wanted to be complicated. So it's important that we be good examples, because your example is what God uses to bless you. I'm going to try that one again before we get to read. I want you to get it. Your example is what God uses to bless you. Watch where I'm getting ready to go. Let's say the Lord sends you to a basketball game. All right, Brother Irby, you still do refereeing, right?
Yes.
Brother Irby? Okay. So let's use that for an example. So let's say the Lord sends you to a basketball game. You're their referee. A child has some attack take place. He's sick. It's asthma. If some other thing hits him, the kid falls out on the floor. Everybody is sitting at the bench going, "Oh, my God." Some people jump up. Some people go, "Let me call an ambulance." But what happens when the man of God, goes and stands over the child and says, in the name of Jesus, I say whatever Satan is doing to you, he can't do. In the name of Jesus, I'm standing here right now as an intercessor. Father, give him life. In the name of Jesus. Now watch what I'm going to say. People saw that. When they saw that behavior, someone, especially when God used you to do it, and the child all of a sudden pops up and goes, I'm okay now. Because I've seen it happen. Now, amen. Here's the next thing. People saw that happen. You're an example. See, you're shining light. You brightness. You glory. You ooh, my God, who you are. Anyway, and so people saw that.
Yeah.
Now watch what happened. Somebody sitting in that crowd will see that man of God and come and say, hey, I saw what you did, and I was wondering, could you pray for me? The person that comes out of that crowd that comes and says, now would you pray for me? Because I saw you pray for somebody, and I saw God manifest the miracle right in front of my eyes. That person might be the person that says, listen, I'd like you to come work for me. I got a job as a CEO. I need somebody with the kind of compassion. Your example is your favor. You ain't listening.
Yeah.
Anybody hear me? The example
yes.
you set
yes.
is what God uses to create the favor that you get. The example you set is what God uses to create the favor that you get.
Wow. Yeah.
And then the scripture also says, Pastor, that we are living epistles, read
uh-huh.
among men. We are mm-hmm. read among men. So they watch,
well,
they ain't listening to what you say. They watching what you do.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Donna, God bless you. Good to hear
God
from you.
God bless, Pastor, and good to hear from
Praise
you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 11. So the woman was a bad example. What should have happened was, if that husband cared about how she looked, that dress was attractive to him. Well, then he bought the dress for him, not for the church.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that the marriage bed is not defiled.
And
then I can go get my wife a really nice, cute undergarment that really just kind of, oh my God. And we can go in the bedroom and anoint our bedroom in the name of Jesus. But I can't put it on her and tell her to wear it to church.
Right.
No.
Amen.
Only wear it to church so they know what I got. Are you up
to mind? Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yes, it do.
And so
amen.
I have to be conscious of what the difference is between me just wanting to be me and me being a stumbling block.
If
I'm going to be the pastor, amen, and take that responsibility, or if I'm going to be the man or the woman of God and take on that responsibility, ain't no sense to be walking down the street with a big old earring that's in my nose and in my...
Amen.
And that's because people are not seeing the man of God. They're seeing, you know, Dap Sugar Willie.
Amen.
Amen.
They're seeing Homeboy. Player, player. My man, my man. Does that make any sense?
Yes, sir.
The favor you get is presented. I can take you back and show you a million scriptures to corroborate, even going back to Joseph. When the king called Joseph up and said, okay, bring him before me. I heard this man is interpreting dreams. What he's saying is coming to point. He's prophetic. He's gifted. I'm not even a Hebrew Israelite, but I know the value of somebody that God is using.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sent him up there to be, I want to talk to him. The first thing Joseph did was shave, put on a nice set of clothes,
mm-hmm.
and then went before the king because he knew what the king saw was going to bring the favor that the king was ready to give him.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going to move in favor,
I have to be conscious of my imagery. What do I look like to the people? You don't need to have a million people, just by the way. You don't need to have a million people to bless you. All you need is one that God wants to use to bless you.
That's all.
Yes. Amen. Are we ready now? So we're going to read. I just want to make sure we get that. Don't just make 2026 your year to be in it to win it.
Yeah.
Start off with what do people see when they see me? Start with that. What do they see? What are they looking at? I don't care what they think about me. I know who I am. But what do they see?
Makes a big difference.
It does, doesn't it? All right, so we're going to read from 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And I'm going to ask for some readers tonight. And then we're going to talk about what we read, what we receive, and how we can use it. Praise the Lord. I think the first couple of scriptures, I'm going to give it a little bit of theme so that we get it. The first set of scriptures, verses 1 through 3, 11, 1 through 3, is going to be about a simple God for a bunch of complicated people. A simple God for a lot of complicated people. Here we go. Do I have a reader?
I can, Pastor.
All right. Please read verses 1 through 3.
This is a New Living Translation. I hope you will put up with a little more of my foolishness. Please bear with me, for I am jealous for you, with the jealousy of God himself. I promise you, as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. Read through three, right? But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent.
Read 4:2.
You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed.
So, is he saying, let me read the King James Version. I would to God that you could bear with me just a little while I say something that's really silly in my folly. And indeed, just bear with me.
Okay.
For I am jealous over you with a godly kind of jealousy. For I have espoused, I've married you to one husband. You don't need a bunch of gods. You don't need Islam. You don't need this. You don't need that. You don't need this. You don't need to do any Nam Yoho Renge Kyo's. You need to get rid of anything and everything that exalts itself against this God. I've married you to one thing, right? He said, and that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to blow your mind. Believe it or not, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, Master, Savior, and I don't care how many men, how many women you've had in your life, the minute you accepted Christ, he made you a virgin all over again.
All over.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes. Amen. Come on.
That part.
Y'all didn't hear that, did you?
That part. Yes.
This is why the example becomes so important, because you ain't what you used to be.
Come on.
But you can still look like what you used to be as long as you think what you used to be is what you are. It's up to us to recognize, wait a minute, there was some power when I said I do to Jesus. When I married him, I married into a new family. And when I married Jesus, something unique happened. You know how when you have a baby? You know how when we have babies? And the babies have our last name, and they have our bloodline. They might even look, you know, a little ookie wookie looks like grandpa. Denise looks like grandmama or Auntie Jane, or, you know, and all that stuff. But here's the thing that you have to recognize. When you get married to Christ, you look like him. He changes your DNA and your bloodline.
Amen.
And that is why we are all called the seed of Abraham.
You're no longer the seed of Martha and Mike and James Sr. and, you know, yes, God used them to get you here. But the minute you accepted Christ, you became the seed of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
You became the new Israel.
Old things pass away and behold, all things become new.
Yeah,
that's why he said all things are passed away. Old things. Oh, that means
old
your DNA
things.
Has changed.
Everything.
And every time we use the excuse, "Oh, that's just the way I am," you're lying on Christ's DNA.
Okay.
Yeah. You just said the DNA don't really work. It ain't what it says it is. It don't have the power it had. No, that's not the problem. The problem is I don't want to let go of the world. Verse 2, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, because I espoused you to one husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent even tricked Eve, as the serpent, Satan, tricked Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is Christ, a simple God for complicated people.
Yes.
He's simple. He made it so simple. He said this to us, love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. Against that principle, there is no law. There is no devil, no demon that can trick you. And many of us have the problem because we may love God. Some of us even know how to love our neighbors. But very few of us have learned to love ourselves.
Right.
Mm. Amen.
I don't know how to treat me, so I don't know how to treat people. Well, how do I love myself? Can I talk about that for a moment, and then we're going to read on? Is it okay to talk about that?
Yeah.
All right. I want you to catch the love yourself part. The loving myself part, like if you've ever been on drugs or ever been, you know, most men go, I got the best looking woman in town. I love myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't go out and drink that cheap booze. I drink the good stuff. I think I'm loving myself. Anybody get that part? You get it? I don't just drive me a car. I'm not driving that hoopty. I'm going to get me a 2026 shiny Cadillac. I'm loving me. I'm treating me good. Amen, right?
Amen.
Let me shake you up a little bit. When he said love yourself, he's not talking about the stuff and things we have. When he says love yourself, he's talking about learn how to live out of reciprocity.
Right.
Hello. Because 99% of our failures in life are because we take more from people than we ever give. We don't understand reciprocity. See, when I learned how to love myself, I learned how to give to people. I learned how to not hold on to everything. Everything does not become the measurement of who I am. The car goes forwards, backwards, it turns corners, it's got heat in it, it's good enough for me. It doesn't have to be a 2026, it doesn't have to be a 2016. It just needs to be reliable. When I love myself, I don't go out and spend $20,000 on Christmas and can't pay for it for the next 5 years.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Praise the Lord, somebody.
Yes.
When I love myself, I stop putting myself in bad debt. When I love myself, that's what he was talking. He's a simple God. And we complicate it because loving myself must mean I ain't supposed to take this off my husband, or I ain't supposed to take this off my wife. Well, you ain't got nothing to do with your husband and your wife except the fact that you're married to them, because in all reality, you don't own them.
Yes.
Oh, God.
That's
amen.
Yeah.
I don't own you.
Great.
So, am I saying something to somebody? You begin to understand loving myself means I have to let you be yourself while I better myself. Even if what you're being ain't helping me to be better. I still have a responsibility to myself for Christ and God's sake. in order to better me in spite of what you are.
Right. That part.
That part. Does it make sense?
Yes, yes. It does.
Yes.
So simple God for our complexity. That's what Paul said. He says, He says, I think that our minds have been corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Right? So everybody get it? Simple God, complicated people. And I have to uncomplicate, praise the Lord, I need to uncomplicate my life. Sister Deborah, God bless you. So good to know that you're here, right?
God,
I have to uncomplicate this thing, praise the Lord. Somebody say uncomplicated.
Uncomplicated.
2026, this is the year that you're in it to win it. And in order to win it, I got to uncomplicate everything. I got to not try to rule. I got to not try to manage. I got to not try to fix. I got to not try to control. I got to not have the last word. In fact, I don't even have to have the first word. I got to just have me in order under Christ through 2026.
That part.
Just get me right in the eyesight of Christ. Don't let me be the stumbling block. And if I can handle that much, I just
you
made the whole kingdom simple.
Right.
Am I making sense to anybody?
Yes.
So let's keep reading. I want to add one more thing to the don't complicate Christ part. Watch this. God is really smart. I think in the book of St. John's, he says, in my Father's house and many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. So we know we got a mansion coming when we get to heaven, right? Amen. I'm giving mine. If you don't want yours, I'll take yours too.
I got that.
Amen. So, but watch where I'm getting ready to go. So I think Jesus uses that analogy because he wants us to know that even on this side, you got a house too. And he talks about the house, the tabernacle, the place where he wants to dwell. And watch what I'm going to say to you about your house on this side. On the house on this side, it is not how big the bedroom is. It's not how big the living room is. It's not how big the kitchen is. It's not how big the basement is. And the house on this side, all he's trying to tell you is the biggest room for improvement is you.
Amen. Yes.
The biggest room in your house on this side is a room to improve. Let me just be that's why you get a brand new mercy every single morning. You go to sleep at night, don't know if you're getting ready to get up, but when you get up, it's half of us don't know what we're going to do with what we got up to. All I need to do is just keep improving my house. Jesus Christ is the carpenter. Let him keep working on me, and let me just keep improving the house I got. Does that make sense?
Amen.
All right, let's keep going. So let's move on to verses 4. Lati, would you go ahead and complete that for us?
You said verse 4?
Verses 4, 5, 6, 7 through, let's go to 15, and then let's talk about it.
You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believe. But I don't consider myself inferior in any way to these super apostles who teach such things. I must be unskilled as a speaker, but I'm not lacking in knowledge. We have made this clear to you in every possible way. Was I wrong when I humbled myself and honored you by preaching God's good news to you without expecting anything in return? I robbed other churches by accepting their contributions so I could serve you at no cost. And when I was with you and didn't have enough to live on, I did not become a financial burden to anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia brought me all that I needed. I have never been a burden to you, and I never will be. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, no one in all of Greece will ever stop me from boasting about this. Why? Because I don't love you? God knows that I do. But I will continue doing what I have always done. This will undercut those who are looking for an opportunity to boast that their work is just like ours. These people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I am
not
surprised.
I want you to read it. Stay right there. Stay right there. Because there's one that's getting ready to come. It's heavy. And I don't want us to go there again. I want us to discuss that part, right? What is he talking about? And the floor is open for this discussion. What in the world did he just say from verses 4 through 11? What did he say? Why bring that stuff up? Go ahead. Should I go around the room and Sister Donna, what did he say?
He's reading out of the
New
NIV. The NIV version. Yeah, I'm a student of the. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a student of the King James version, but I do have a the New International version as well. So
okay.
I'll read it from where he read it from.
Yeah, read it. Yeah, could you read it one more
time? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me. Can I read it from the King James version? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. That,
mm-hmm. So he went from 4 to what, 7?
From 5 through 11, I think. 5 through 12.
Through
11.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For I suppose I was not a wit behind the very chiefest apostles. In other words, I'm not going to be ignorant of what they were saying. But mm-hmm. though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifested among you in all things. And we done told mm-hmm. We done spoke everything to you. We mm-hmm. it's not like we didn't know what we were saying to you. It was spoken mm-hmm. to us by God. So we speaking from the Father, from Jesus, from the Holy Ghost. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge.
May I talk like other folks? Go ahead.
Right. But we mm-hmm. have been thoroughly made manifested among you in all things.
Stay right there for a minute. Mm-hmm. Stay right there for a second, Sister Donna, because I want us to catch this.
Okay.
He's saying pay attention to what you see, not what you hear. Right. Manifest means I was visible. You saw it all. Can I go deep for a minute?
Go deep.
Sir. The second thing that thwarts our blessings in God is because we're so confused on who to follow, it's ridiculous.
Mm.
Because we don't pay attention to what we see about people. We pay attention to what we hear about them. That's why gossip is so prevalent. We're too busy trying to figure out, is this one the right one? Is that one the right one? Does that one know what he's doing? Does this one know what he's doing? And then sometimes we even get confused and think they all know what they're doing.
Okay.
That's what Paul is saying. I ain't following them folk. I mean, I ain't got nothing against them yet, but I'm telling you, I was a little short of some of them folks, because they're the chief apostles. They're the big guys. They mm-hmm. got mega churches.
Mm-hmm.
they got mega churches. They got 18 different Bible studies going mm-hmm. simultaneously. They're the ones that said, send $995 and I'll send you a 900-day blessing. They're them folks. And they, yeah. They chiefs amongst the people. But Paul said, but did we teach you this about Christ? Did you ever hear me teach like that? And he's talking about mm-hmm. that, and he's trying to make sure the people get it. So how do I pay attention, and what should I be looking for? And I think we all should ask that question. What should I look for, especially if I'm inexperienced in church? What should I be looking for? And how do I know who's who? Go ahead. Somebody's talking. Go ahead.
I said the fruit of the Spirit.
Oh. The fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The fruits of the Spirit. What?
Can I go deep?
Glory.
The fruits of the Spirit.
Can I go
deep? What should we look for?
What should you be looking for? How do you know if you're in the right church?
How do you know if you went to the right person? How do you know that the man is preaching has the right spirit? How do you know? Go ahead, Sister Angela. Then we'll come back to you, Sister Sarah. Go ahead.
I'm going deeper. Like Sister said, the fruits of the spirit, but then let's talk manifestations. Let's talk about miracles, signs, and wonders. Have your life changed? Are you growing? Are you eating correctly and getting your vitamins through the word? And you are, you know what I'm saying? You're changing and you're evolving, and now you're in the process, and God is, you know, Holy Spirit's just changing you and into somebody, you know, that he wants you to be. Do you see that? So if I don't see people growing and all that stuff, and it's so stagnant and there's nothing changing, I got a problem. And it's uncomfortable. I want to be there. I want to be around people that are growing. All of us are keeping each other accountable. It's a praying church. It's a growing church. You're seeing the fruits. You are seeing the manifestations, and you're seeing the growth. We were talking about that the other night, me, Sister Hawanda, Vati, and Sister Tara. We talked about that. We're seeing the growth. When you see the growth, you know you right where God wants you to be at.
The anointing. So growth is a factor. The anointing. Yeah. Go ahead, Sister Hawanda. Come on.
That's what I was going to say, the anointing too, you know, because you'll be able to identify by trying the spirit, by the spirit, you know, because anybody can do some good preaching, but there's, you know, the power of the anointing, you know, you'll be able to feel that, to relate if that's how, you know, that's what they're operating in, and not just saying, hey, I got the gift of gab, so I know how to put some words together and make it sound
smart. Smart off the wrong. Okay. Is what you preaching cutting to the bone marrow?
Oh my goodness, oh God, oh Lord, did you just say that? Oh my God, did you just say that? Did we not catch that part? Let me go back so we can read something, and then I want to touch what you just said. I want us to go back, and I want you to look at verse 6.
Cutting for the bone marrow.
Look at verse 6. But though I be rude in speech, he wasn't trying to tickle anybody there.
No.
He was trying to tell them the truth about the truth. How do you know what you're looking at?
Right.
Because you can tell, and you got to know that God is so smart. God places sort of kind of a lie detector in your spirit.
Yes.
Oh, God. Somebody knows what I'm talking about, don't they? Can't you talk to people half the time and go, they just lied like crazy. You don't even know the person.
Can I answer that?
Absolutely.
Amen. Because God got a lie detector built inside of you.
Trying the spirit by the spirit. Come on.
Try the spirit by the spirit.
I'll wait.
And I'm going to come back to you, I think Tara was the next person who wanted to say something, but I want you to get this, because where you...
Thank you. Where his hat?
I want us to really get this, please. And if I'm talking too much and you're not getting it because there's too many words for you, slow me down. Do what you have to, but this is 2026. I want you to be in this to win this. In it to win it. Enough loss. Enough losing.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of the same old, same old, same old being the same old, same old.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Time to slap the devil like he's been slapping us.
Yes.
Let me say this to you. All right, so here's how important this is, what we're talking about. You cannot grow, and I like using this analogy, people that go to New Covenant, they heard it before. You cannot take a palm tree from Florida and grow it in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. The environment won't allow it. Somebody said, here's how you know when you're in a good place. There's growth taking place in me.
Yes.
If you're in a bad environment, there's never any growth.
Yes, come on.
And so we go on in an environment search. That's why people church out. Just hold on for a minute. I should have said that. I just did. That's why people church out. because they're looking for the environment that is conducive to their growth, because they haven't yet figured out how to look at the person and know if this was sent by God. So I have to deal with the environment.
Yeah.
So I can stay someplace for 2-3 weeks, and then if I don't feel growth, I'm gone. Then I go someplace else for 2-3 weeks, and I don't feel any growth, I'm gone. And then I go someplace else for 2-3 weeks.
And
then
now
I don't feel anything, I'm gone. And then I look at all those places I've been, and I recognize, wait a minute, I did grow, I just didn't want to change. And then I go back to the environment they gave me.
Revelation.
I'm looking for presence because I know where the spirit of Yah is, there's liberty. And that's the growth.
Go ahead, say it again. And that's what? That's the growth.
I was saying, and that's the growth right there, because you're going to be liberated. That means deliverance. The, you know, the fivefold ministry is going to be taking place. It's going to be healing and deliverance. And then, like my sister said, miracles, signs, and wonders, where the spirit of Yah is.
Yep.
Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Let's go to Tara. Tara, what did you want to say?
No, I was just, this was just saying.
Okay.
So you were talking about how do you know the difference? I was saying when you feel that spirit in you, you know, when it's when it comes in you, you will know.
Amen.
But yes, ma'am.
You will will know,
Can I say something?
Let me. Yeah, go ahead, Latik. Then I'll come back to you, Sukhantla.
Okay.
Yeah, like for me, like when I'm like watching someone or in a church and stuff, like it's like you feel like the red flags on the inside kind of just like fly up. Like somebody's adding to the gospel, or you're like, wait a minute, that's not what I read in the Bible, and things like that. It's just like you feel it. It's like a kind of like an alarming feeling where you're just like, yeah, this ain't it.
Yeah.
Now, to that point, that's a maturing place. And I want to make sure we get that, because there's a lot of people who haven't read the Bible, and they are searching for a church. They are searching for a place that they can get to have that feeling of wanting to read and wanting to grow. But how do I select if I don't know what this word says? How do I figure out where should I be if I don't know what the Bible says to me, and I have to go purely off of what's in me, right? Because most of us, and I want you to hear this, please write this word down, right? What is the theme for tonight, everyone? 2026, we're what?
In it to win it.
Amen. 2026, I'm in it to win it, right? I'm not in it to keep spinning in it. I'm in it to win it. I need to finish up the race so I can get on to the life that God has for me, because I've been missing that life for too long. I want that life. And I can tell you, with that life will come houses, will come cars, will come promotions, will come new jobs, will come new businesses. All those things are already in your life. God is waiting for you to catch up to the blessings he already has waiting for you. But the problem is we won't run the race long enough to get caught up with God. We want God to catch up with us, but I want you to know you don't have a slow God. He don't move slow. He don't move. When God says it's time for a thing to move, that thing is going to move. But you have to be willing to move with it. Praise the Lord. Right? I got to be ready to go. That's why he told you to be what? Instant, in season, and out of season means be ready, get ready, and be ready. Get ready, be ready, and get ready. Because I got stuff waiting on you. It's already in your DNA. It's already in your future. It's already sitting and waiting. All it's waiting on is for you to get the principle. Because for God, principles are keys. Keys open doors. Doors can't be opened. I can't get the key unless God has some faith in me, because a key represents trust. You ain't never gave a key to somebody to get in your house that you didn't have trust in.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Pastor, what's the thing you wanted to take the note for? What's the note?
Okay, so we talked about reciprocity, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I want you to write down the word reciprocity first. Reciprocity. For me to mature, I got to learn how to put back in and not take all the time. First principle. Learn to give back. No marriage is going to survive if all the husband does is he's the one that's always doing and giving. The wife gives nothing. I don't feel like cooking. I'm tired. It might last for a little while, but it ain't going to last long. No job is going to keep you employed if all you do is go to get the check and don't want to do the work.
You know what? I want to say, you know, it's so easy to get thrown off. That's what I don't want to keep happening to me. I don't want to keep getting thrown off, you know. It's sometimes just like you all speaking right now. And this is what I've been praying for, more knowledge, more peace and more patience. Sometimes you feel like you're just not in it. And you're trying your best to get there. But I'm not trying to do it for nobody else no more. I want to do it for me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we thank you, Kara. That's powerful.
Yes.
And that's the other, that's what loving you means when he said, love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. I'm doing this for me.
And then
I'm going to follow with this to see what the end's going to be. So that's why the old saints had that in their statement. I'm gonna keep right on going and say I ain't tired yet, because they want to get to the end.
Okay.
Got it. All right. So reciprocity. Put that down. Reciprocity. I gotta get back. I gotta put back. You can't keep no one. And I'm not talking about anybody on the phone. If you feel like I'm talking about you, then that's just God. Trying to correct something in you. It ain't me. If everything you do is about what they do for you, you haven't learned to love yourself.
Amen.
Amen. You do not love yourself. You're egotistical is what that problem is. It's your ego. Because the ego... ego is like a bottomless well. It just needs to be fed and fed and fed. Pour into me, pour into me, pour into me.
Yeah.
Give me more, give me more, give me more. Give me, 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 give me. Give me. Give me. No, no. No, you don't need nothing. Give me.
No.
That's an ego doing that. Okay? So reciprocity. I have to learn to give back. Well, I'm in it to win it in 2026. I don't know about you, but I'm here to win. Right? Two. How do I discern the right environment for myself?
Yes.
Here's the right environment. The Bible says that his spirit will bear witness with your spirit.
Amen.
The problem with most people is they want something to bear witness with their thoughts. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, help me. They want it to bear witness with my feelings, not my spirit. And if these people don't make me feel good...
Yeah.
I might not come back because they didn't make me feel good, man. They didn't even talk about that nice outfit I was wearing. And I came in and I was like, I was dressed to the nines when I came through the door. All the people in the street loved it. I came to the church and they asked me, what was I wearing that for? I don't know if I'm coming back. Next thing I want you to write down, write the word truth. T-R-U-T-H.
Yeah.
True.
Yes.
People
truth?
That love you, truth. Yes, ma'am.
Truth.
How you know you're in the right place?
I'm sorry.
T-R-U-T-H. T-R-U-T-H. Truth.
Okay.
Got that?
Yes.
All right. Am I making sense to everybody tonight? Am I? Praise the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes,
you know,
yes, yes.
Why did I give you the word truth? Because here is how you measure whether you're in the right place. The people will tell you the truth even if you don't like it.
Ooh. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Can I
want you to, I know you should, but can you hold for 1 second? I want to give one more thing to write down. Ready? I want you to write down freedom versus bondage. Amen. Versus bondage. Can you write that down for me, please?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Freedom versus bondage. Now watch how that adds up. If I give back, because people are giving to me, and if they're telling me the truth, it should create freedom versus religious bondage.
And that
religious bondage is someone making you feel like you ain't holy enough.
And that,
okay.
Truth is someone letting you know ain't nobody holy enough for Jesus.
Okay.
You ain't gonna never be good enough for him. You ain't gonna never earn nothing from him. You're gonna have to accept by grace what he did for us. Then you're walking in truth.
Yes, you're walking in truth. Amen.
Amen.
Did anybody get that?
Yes.
Truth versus bondage. And believe it or not, there are three major spirits on the planet. There's a lot of them, but the three majors. Okay. Let me tell you what they are. Relationship with Jesus, number one. Because when you get it, can't nothing replace it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the number one. Once you achieve it, you'll know you got it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing in the world you're allowed to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Second most powerful spirit on the planet, music.
What is it?
Music.
Magic.
It's music.
Music.
That's why when we grew up in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, we listened to music. We acted out what we listened to. When you grow up in the 80s, 90s,
Amen.
And the 2000s, they're listening to rap, and they're acting out what they're listening to because the music has power. That is the reason God requires worship before you ever go into a message.
Amen.
Anybody hear that?
Yeah.
That's why your praise is so important. Because if you don't praise him, you didn't enter into a state with thanksgiving in your heart. Oh, God. Third worst, third spirit that's on the planet, powerful spirit, called religion. Help me, Jesus. It's called religion. Where everybody is better than me, and I can't ever be as good as them. That's a religious spirit. Where only one person is anointed. That's a religious spirit. Where only pastor knows what's right. That's a religious spirit. Where pastor's doctorate degree makes him the person that God speaks through. That's a religious spirit. It's a strong spirit. Y'all not listening, are you? Some of us have been there. We've been under those spirits. And you couldn't tell your pastor nothing. In fact, you couldn't even contact him because you had to call his secretary just to try to get a phone call with him. That's how you begin to know we were in the first place. Anybody remember this? Are you here? We ain't knowing our pastor's too important to be bothered with you. That's the same mess that the disciples tried to do to Jesus. Leave Jesus alone. Kids, y'all just getting on his nerves. Leave him alone. Jesus said, get away from me. He said, unless you come to me as a little child, you ain't going to even see the kingdom. He was talking to them as a child. He was trying to let them know. No, cut that out because I'm touchable. I'm reachable.
Amen.
I'm here to explain. I'm here to give guidance. I'm here for comfort. I'm here to lay hands. I'm here to feed the poor. Oh, God, help me. I'm here to clothe the naked. I'm here for that purpose, and you're telling folk to leave me alone? That's the first time that you've got some religious spirit that you're around.
Amen.
That's your deep to anybody?
Amen.
Stay away from that. Right now, somebody wanted to speak. Who was that? I think it was
me.
Please go ahead.
Okay. What I wanted to say was, I have been in churches where the truth was, where Jesus was being preached, the good news. Nothing but the good news. Pastor Monroe's church, and I've seen in Pastor Richardson's church, where I have seen people, and my son can contest to this, where people have manifested demons and all this stuff because the word was going out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have people who come in, into the church and nobody is growing, there's a big problem. Because if they're not growing, you are not going to be growing either, you know. So you got to go elsewhere. And I'm really right now preaching to myself because now the Holy Spirit is really convicting me on a lot of stuff too. So I thank and praise God. This is how I know I'm supposed to be at this Bible study because I get revelation. There's been in Pastor Moreau's church where I just cry because I be so convicted. Touch you, it changes you. Even in the Bible studies, it's been times I've cried in the Bible studies, wanted to go running down and just start screaming. What I was doing was wrong. But what I'm saying, as a body of Christ, we need to be careful of where we're going. You know what I'm saying?
Hurry up, man. I'm running behind.
Yeah, we are right. You know, we're supposed to be right where we're supposed to be, where we're getting spiritually fed. Because a lot of churches, because I've seen churches where we have homosexuality and stuff, and they're cuddled up in the church and listening to the word and coming and all that other stuff and going as they please. And I ain't seen nobody come up and repent, none of that stuff. So I'm getting deep.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to go there. Ooh. I'm not going to bite my tongue anymore because what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Can I
remember we started off talking? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And then that's one of the blessings too, you know, especially, you know, me, you know, having Pastor Moreau's like my pastor and having all you guys in the body of Christ, you know, in my life and stuff like that, because not only do we have that, we have a boldness. And that boldness is what a lot of preachers and a lot of pastors don't have anymore because they're afraid of the world. They're afraid of persecution. They're afraid of, if you don't have the, you know, homosexual flag on here and you don't accept them and all that stuff. They even got lawyers going after, you know, people that are being bold about, you know, the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So just the fact that we are going in church and we're all here together and we're preaching that boldness, you know, we're actually in that, you know, there's no fear, you know, and that's another thing to really look at, you know, when you're going looking for a church home or have, you know, it's like, are you guys fearless? Are you guys like, you come in here, you can get mad all you want. I'm not going to change the gospel for you.
Right. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. Anybody else before we move on? It's getting close to 7 o'clock. I don't want to keep you too long, but anybody else before we move on?
I just want to say, Pastor. I just want to say, you know, you have to live what you preach about. You can go to church. But for me, I'm the church. The church lives in me. I don't live the building to worship with my sisters and my brothers, you know. But but me, I'm the church because, you know, I lay hands on people. I don't even know people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, in my neighborhood, or when I'm going to the store, it's just who I am. I'm not scared. I'm not afraid because the word is in me. The Holy Ghost is in me. I didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost in church, a building.
Mm-hmm.
I got filled with the Holy Spirit one February morning, waking up, speaking in tongues. Nobody don't know what I'm saying. I don't even know what I'm saying for a couple of hours. You know? And they looking at me like, I'm trying to get to my pastor at the time. I'm like, I couldn't even tell nobody. I just had to walk over to the lady house that introduced me to the Lord. And she was like, yes, she got it. You know,
hallelujah.
I'm saying I lay hands on people, Pastor. I call people out. I don't care. Because Jesus did it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he's the prime example. So I'm just doing what he did. That's why I say I'm Junior Jesus in the earth, you know, because I knew what he did. And if you don't like it, don't argue with me. You got to talk to my daddy about it. I'm just doing what I've been told.
Yeah, don't beat up the messenger. I'm just the messenger.
Yeah.
He came up with a message.
I'm just carrying it out.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Ma'am.
Hallelujah.
All right, so let's go ahead and try to close this out and get ready for 7 o'clock, 7:15. I think we'll be done by. Everybody ready? I'm going to run through this. I'll read some of this. All right, so watch what he goes on. We're in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, right? And I want to touch this real quick because an apostle is not an office or a title. I was in Pennsylvania. And a gentleman said to me,
not.
He says, well, I'm getting ready to move into my next level. He says, right now I'm a bishop. I got this many churches that I oversee. He said, and they're shifting me into apostleship. And I looked at him and I said, oh, okay, praise the Lord. Good. And I went up because no one has the right to title you as an apostle. Won't you listen to me real good?
Amen.
That's what a religious spirit will do. Let me tell you what an apostle is. The word apostle comes from the Greek word, which means apostolos, which means to be sent by God. Only God can make an apostle.
Right. There you go. There you go.
Now, I can be a bishop. That's an office.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Right? Mm-hmm. I can be a pastor. That's an office. But it should be a calling. That's why the Bible says, I'll send you pastors after my own heart. God said that. So you can have pastors that's men after men's own heart, and you can have pastors that's men after God's own heart. You got to learn how to select. You would have to choose it, because I can tell you, if you find the right place, the right environment for you to grow, you're going to grow. If you find the right environment where folks love you, not because of who you think you are, but they love you in spite of what you are, you got to grow. If you go around some folks that's going to sit back and look at you and go, no, brother, I actually get it. Or no, sister, I get it. I've been there, done that, got T-shirts, got scars, and got a couple of trophies on the wall. But I know what God is able to do. Just hang on in there with us. We got your back. Then you'll grow. But if you go into a place where everybody's better than you, then you're in a place where you're being put into some form of bondage. So he talked about this. He says, be careful of this thing, false apostles, all that stuff, people that's got titles, and yada, yada, and yada. And then he goes on to compare them. This is very important. So if they transform themselves, verse 13, into apostles of Christ, verse 14. And don't even marvel at that, because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And he transforms himself to look good to you, to make you feel good, but he ain't telling nobody the truth. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, his, Satan's, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose ends shall be according to their works. That's the next thing you pay attention to. Write it down. Works. What do you see the people actually doing? And I'm going to end right there. We'll come back to this next week if that's okay. But I want to end there because I want us to pay attention to something. This is 2026. You should be in it to win it. Right?
Yes.
So let's talk about this your works part. Let me share what this Bible is trying to tell you. I got to read. I can't just say it. I got to read. I want you to get it. Here we go. Let's go to verse 16 first. Listen to what Paul goes through. He says, I say again, right? Verse 16, please read this, everyone. I say again, let no man think me a fool.
Okay.
He just got to be talking about, pay attention to their words. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, if you think I am, that I might boast myself just a little. Because this is what I'm trying to speak. I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, right? Foolishly in their confidence of the way they talk and boast, seeing that many glory after their flesh, I can glory also. But watch what he says. For you suffer fools gladly. You'll sit back and do the TBN and the mega church and the whole, you'll suffer that mess gladly, seeing you yourselves call yourselves wise. But watch what he said. For you suffer, verse 20, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take from you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, you're all right with that mess. Watch what he said.
I'm speaking as concerning what reproach does, as though we have been weak, howbeit whatsoever, any is bold. I speak foolishly to you, but I'm bold enough to say this. Are they real Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? Well, I am too. Are they the seed of Abraham? So are you, and so am I. Oh, are they ministers of Christ? I sound like a fool now, huh? I am more. In labors, I've worked more abundantly. In stripes, I took them above measure. This is how you know. In prison, more frequently than anybody. In death, even, almost oftenly. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, except for once.
Mm-hmm.
Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I spent out in the deep with sharks around me and all kinds of things in the middle of the ocean, trusting in God. Here's how you know. What are people willing to do to make sure you're safe? This is how you know. How many churches are you seeing out there going, we got to stop our kids from being killed?
Say that one more time.
How many churches are you seeing out there say, we're getting ready to go walk and march because we need to stop our kids from being killed?
None.
How many churches do you see showing up in people's communities saying, God loves you, we love you, how do we help?
One.
I know of one, too. I don't see many. I'm saying you got to pay attention to the works.
Amen.
Right, that's what Paul said. Know them by the works.
That's right.
Now, one person can't be 80 people. Now, I asked everybody to say, hey, I'm in it to win it in 2026. And let me tell you why this is so important. Because inside of each one of you is a gift that God needs to use in 2026 to do something amazing and miraculous. Because while we might be out walking, while we might be out going against violence, we still ain't getting over to see the sick. We need somebody that can do that. While we might be out feeding the poor or feeding the hungry, are trying to clothe the poor, we still need some folks to start couples ministry. We still need some somebody should hear me right now. Still need some folks to step up and do the work that needs to be done.
Amen.
Do it all, and all people can do all things through Christ. And so it's time, 2026, get in it to win it. If you're real about this thing, step up and let's get real. Step up and quit making excuses about why I can't do something and start finding reasons that you ought to do it. I need to be present. I need to be accountable. See, because I need to be with the real thing, and the real thing is when I step up and become the church, just like Deborah just said, it's not about the building. It is about you.
Hallelujah.
Right. Am I talking to anybody?
Amen.
You.
Everywhere we go.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere. I don't care where
you go. Missing. We're missing family. We're missing. And I understand you may be new. I understand you may not know everything. But let me tell you something is really important. The word minister, if you go back and look it up in the dictionary, you'll find it only means servant.
That's all.
Doesn't mean master's degree.
Amen.
Nope. PhD. It means servant. And if you love the Lord and all you know how to do is to say to somebody, Jesus saves, you got a ministry license waiting on
you. Right there. Amen. You got.
If you know how to sit down with some kids and say, y'all need to stop fighting, man, we're going to talk about how to do things a different kind of way. You got a ministry license living it. Wish I had somebody.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It is time to go and do what God called us to do. It's enough of us. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
There's enough of us. And you ain't the only ones. We got a church full. But we need to fill up and start organizing ourselves so we can be impactful and be an example to our community. Ain't no sense in it being all about money. You ain't taking none of that money with you when you go to heaven. And if the money becomes too important, it'll send you to hell. So come on, got money.
That's why I told you how to deal with that money stuff.
Hallelujah. It ain't about cars and perishables. It ain't about how cute your wife is or how cute you think you are. Because you didn't even select how to be cute. You just were born. So you ain't even have you can't even claim none of that mess. But it is about that part that Jesus said, every work that's done in Christ, you can keep. Everything else, I'll burn it up.
Now, that's in the book. That's in the book.
Is it in the book, sister?
That's in the book.
Everything gets burnt up.
Yes.
Except for what I did for the Lord. So while I think I'm doing all these good things, and I ain't done nothing for Jesus, there's no reciprocity. And that's why reciprocity is the word you have to write down, and you have to focus in on it on 2026. I got to learn how to give back. And nobody asked me for no money. Nobody asked me to do nothing extraordinary, ridiculous. And nobody told me I got to not eat for 8 days and fast for 8 days before I come to Bible study. All they said is that I need to step up and let God use me to become a minister. I need to serve somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Encourage somebody.
Amen.
Anybody get that?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I hope this was a good Bible study for you, because I mean it.
When I went into the New Covenant Church of Christ, I saw the love and I saw the growth, and I said, wow, look what Pastor Malone and God has done. And I was like, yes. I saw it. I saw it with my own two eyes. And the Spirit of the Lord was right there with us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen.
Well, you know, when I could come, I don't even belong to his church, you know. But you know it's good when you can get on the phone, because iron sharpens iron, and it be shocking to me. I'm telling you, I be like, what?
Wow.
And I'm 73 years old, you know, and I've been in this thing since I was 24 years old, and it still get better and better with time.
Oh, glory. Yeah, I ain't tired yet, right, Sister Donna?
That's it.
Yep. So is everybody good with that? Are we ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah.
All right, if you're really ready, I want you to say, I'm in it to win it.
I'm in it to win it.
I'm in it to win it.
We can't win to win as a spectator. You got to win as a participator. You're going to have to play the game. You got to get in.
Right,
you got to get your bat. You got to get your ball. You got to go ahead and get on the team. Put on your uniform. And let's go. Put on the uniform. Hey, glory to God. Put your uniform on. And let's go.
Okay,
let's go. Don't look to be perfect. Right? And God prefers progress over perfection. He ain't looking for you to be the best of the best of the best. He ain't going to ask you to preach and do all that stuff. But there are people out there suffering, and most of the people on this phone have a solution that could change their life.
That's it.
And we're so busy, Satan's got us so caught up on our own life.
All right. All right.
Yeah. I hate him with a passion.
Oh, you don't know how my back feels right now. Yeah, I do. My back hurts too, but I ain't going to stop going. God is good. I don't know where the rich money coming from. Well, neither do I, but Jehovah Jireh, he'll provide for me. I know it's coming. That's all I need to know. But you don't understand, Pastor. I don't have, you may have transportation. Somebody get on the bus and get me a bus. In fact, let me call my friend, bring him to church with me. We have to be in to win. I know you're tired of not seeing the progress, of not seeing the blessing, of not seeing the favor that you're supposed to have. I know you're tired.
Yes.
And God told me to tell you, you can stop being tired. You've been hired.
Amen.
Come on in and let's go get the work done.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise
let
the Lord.
Write that.
Praise
I gotta
the
write
Lord.
That down. Stop being tired or be hired. You gotta preach faster.
Stop being tired. Yeah, you've been hired. Same.
Wow.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And so so we're gonna have closing thoughts, and then we'll have our closing prayer. I'm going to ask, and since Sister Deborah, since we have not had the opportunity to hear your lovely voice, I'm going to ask you to close us out in prayer, but I want to give closing comments, and I'll start with
Amen.
Brother Latif. Closing thoughts,
hey,
closing
God
comments.
Hey, God bless everybody. I'm about to start repping. Everybody have a good night.
We'll see you soon. We'll see you soon. Brother Latif?
Yeah, you know, just really, you know, hearing, you know, everybody's thoughts on, you know, understanding, you know, the whole leadership, you know, process and how you were explaining,
mm-hmm.
you know, what exactly an apostle is and, you know, how people,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of self-title themselves instead of allowing God to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you know, understanding, you know, his sister Deborah, right? She was explaining how, you know, it's us, you know, it's in us. You know, you don't get it from a building. It comes from inside
mm-hmm.
of us. And that right there was just like, you know, really, really, you know, resonated with me because, you know, I've had that, you know, hit from the Holy Spirit before. And it wasn't in a church. It was actually in my own
mm-hmm.
home. You know, so
mm-hmm.
that right there kind of like proved to me that, like, yes, like, you know, it's you. And then, you know, going on, you know, my mother's, you know, part of it, you know, with the world, you know, and the different churches and what they allow and, you know, and not feeling that, you know, conviction, you know, because you got people that go to church, you know, just to ease their conscience. And then, you know,
mm-hmm.
they for the rest of the week, they go and do what they want and act fools.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to actually go to church and actually feel that conviction and really look at yourself and be like, I'm doing this wrong. This is what's going on. And I need to change this or stop that. So, yeah. That's my thought process on Bible study tonight, and I learned a lot. So,
praise the Lord. Thank you, Latif. Sister Angela?
Well, like I said, it's always a pleasure to be here. It's always good. I eat very well for the week. Like I said, it's been...
I like that.
That's why I come to Bible study, because I get fed here. I don't get fed where I'm at. You know, I've heard those sermons, the same sermons over and over and over again, but put in different ways. And like I said, got to watch out. We got to watch out and be over our own soul salvation, making sure that we are getting sound doctrine. We are growing daily. We are getting those heavenly revelations, and we are in the right spot doing what we're supposed to do. Because I heard somebody tell me years ago, you can either have this go fast or you can have it go slow. It's up to you. If you seek God on a daily basis, and if you seek his face and seek what he wants from you or whatever, and he'll know, you know, you don't ever have to be confused about it, because he'll always let you know if you're in the right spot. Right spot.
Amen.
Come here on Wednesday. It's always... It's Holy Spirit all the time. Holy Spirit all the time. It never fails.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Angela. Let's go to Sister Hawanda. I don't know if you can speak. I know you're still over there helping out, I'm assuming.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say, of course, Bible study is always edifying to where this is where we do get our food to grow. You know, this is how we produce fruit that we need. So it's always a privilege and an honor to be amongst my brothers and sisters to where we can all glean and learn from each other. I don't take it lightly. And I do want share with you all that I'll be traveling for 2 weeks, so I leave Friday and come back on the 23rd of January. I'll miss Bible study and service the week coming up, but Bible study for sure after that, just the week of before the 23rd, I'll be able to join even though I'm out of town. But I know that my phone won't be working for the first 5 days that I'm there. Mm-hmm. So keep me in prayer as I travel, and you guys will be missed. And I love you all.
Travel safe, travel.
Oh, Wanda, we love you so
safe
much.
Safe travel.
We love you so much, daughter. You're awesome. What an amazing woman you are. Just amazing.
Amen.
Some of the things that
Amen.
We've learned so much, man. Oh, man, praise the Lord. We're going on to, let's go to Sister Tara.
Once again, it was a pleasure hearing your voice, Brother Monroe. And as I'm just for the second time being back in Bible study, I was a little thrown off tonight, I guess because I came in late. And because this walk I'm trying to give you, God, right now, it's been a great walk. Ever since he came into my life, it's like December 25th that I accepted his presence in my life. And it just feels so good to be around you all, you know, just hearing everybody's voice. So I want y'all to just keep praying for me that I stay in this word, because I'm trying to get it right, y'all. I'm trying to get it right.
Hallelujah.
And he's trying to throw me off. Trying to throw me off my game. I will not let him. Like you said, I'm in it to win it. Yes, 223.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, now, 2026.
Wow.
You're in it to win it. And you got to tell yourself that every single day. I'm in this to win this.
Yes.
Enough of this. I done had enough. Enough is long enough. Time to do something different. Brother Dewan, closing thoughts.
Hey, Pastor, I'm here every week. And despite everything that's going on with my life and everything, I'm still meant to take time out my day to see what the Lord is about. Yeah.
And
hallelujah.
It's a blessing to be online every Wednesday. You know, it's great, great, great. I just love it. Yep.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes.
And the one getting clearer and clearer and clearer.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
What an awesome God we serve. Sister Donna. Thank you, Dewan.
Thank you.
Welcome, Pastor.
To the sister that just spoke and was saying, you know, she's new coming in. I just want to say to her that I decree and declare that you are in it to win it, that you you are a pillar in your family, and that you will prosper.
Hallelujah.
And that you will go forth this year mighty woman of God. You stay
Hallelujah.
In the word, you stay close to God, and God is going to show you who he really is. You're getting to know him, but he's going to show you who your daddy really is. Our daddy is awesome. He's amazing.
Well,
he can do anything. To the brother that is his speech is impaired a bit. Listen, you're gonna be just like Moses said. He couldn't say nothing, but your speech is going to elevate in
2023.
Hallelujah. Hear me. God is going to open your mouth and fill it. You're going to come full circle with your speech.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much.
I decree and declare that to be so. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
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 See, that's church. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
this
is church.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This is what
God
the saints
be
the
Lord.
Are
glory.
Hallelujah. So
this is the Lord doing, and it's marvelous in his sight.
Yes,
it is.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Sister Deborah, closing thoughts and closing prayer.
I enjoyed the Bible study, and I have missed it tremendously, but to be here tonight put the icing on the cake from when I was there Sunday, and I just feel so much better. I feel freer,
praise
and
God.
I feel that my healing is here, and I'm just gonna walk in it and praise
Amen.
God
Amen.
For it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what
Amen.
I'm gonna do. Mm. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Ooh,
that's
Amen.
And I
yeah.
also see that there is a need for us being Christian and Holy Ghost filled people. We do have to, like Pastor said, we got to pay more attention to those people that don't know Jesus. They
yeah,
still church hunting.
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Still church hunting, and they still confused about, like Pastor said, do I stay here, go there, or where? No. We pray for them that God will
mm-hmm.
give them the direction they need.
That's
to
it.
To know without no mm-hmm. doubt that
That's it.
When they walk into a church,
mm-hmm.
they automatically know this is
mm-hmm.
where I'm supposed to be. And
we well, can do that.
Yes, that's what we got to do.
We
yeah,
got
to
do that.
To do
the
that.
Effectual,
yeah.
fervent prayers of a
prayers
righteous
of
man.
Prayers of a righteous avail it much.
Will avail
it
much.
Loud and clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Glory to you, women of God. Hallelujah. Yes,
Hallelujah.
Women of God.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
We got some anointing in the house. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Praise
Thank
God.
You. Yes.
So
Father God,
would you close us out, please? Yes, Lord.
Father God, we come to you tonight blessing and praising your name. Father God, thanking you for the wonderful Bible study that we had on tonight. Thank you for bringing Pastor Monroe and First Lady Monroe back safely over the highways
yes,
and the
yes,
byways,
yes.
back to
yes,
us
God.
Here in Madison, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Father God, we love you dearly for that. And we thank you for them being our teachers. They make sure we get what we need in order for us to walk this walk in the way that we need to so that we can do the things that we got to do. And that means everything, Father God. That lets us know that we want to do what pleases you at all times and not what pleases us or pleases man. Father God, we are here to give you glory, to give you honor, and give you praise. Father God, we are here to give service and whatnot. So that's what we want to do, and we want to do it effectively so that it pleases you and you only and whatnot. Give us the direction. Give us the words to speak to each other when the time is needed and whatnot so that we can do those things and don't miss what you got going on for each one of us.
Yes,
Some
God.
Of us don't know our gift, but Father God, you do. Show us how to use it. Show us when to bring it forth. Show us how. Father, teach us to continue to walk in love with each other. Father, teach us to continue to desire to grow. We don't want to be a know-it-all. You can't use a know-it-all.
Well,
we want to be what you want us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
2026, Father God, is going to shine. And I want to make sure, Father, you know that we are all here and we want to be used by you. Father, we don't just want to be sitting on the bench wondering who's coming next. No, we want to be used by you. Father, you said our gifts come without repentance. And Father, we just want to know that we are properly using our gifts that you gave us.
Amen.
Grow New Covenant Church of Christ. Father, we want a 2026 that is so victorious that it speaks out loud for itself. We don't have to tell anybody anything because it's already shining so bright.
It's already done.
Before us, it's already done. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
I hope if everyone, I don't know if you have my email address. I'm going to give it to everyone for the church because I want to make sure everybody gets a copy of the bylaws so you can look at them. You can browse them and say, you know, I think you should add something. But we are getting positioned by God right now to go and change Madison. We're going out to do the work. I hope and pray I have some folk on the line that want to go do some work with us.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, Pastor, when I move down there, I'm coming. Yeah.
Okay, so if everybody sends their email address to me, my email address is ministry at n. CCC, 3C's, Madison.com. Ministry at... I'm sorry, say it again. I thought I heard somebody say something. So ministry at N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie, C as in Charlie, C as in Charlie, Madison.com. If you send your email address, I will send you a copy of the bylaws. We are going to begin to start working towards setting up sub-ministries and committees because we need to be able to be busy in the community and have places for our kids to go, some things for our parents to do, some counsel and some other things for people that are going through trauma and they need a loving and caring voice they can talk to. It's time.
Amen.
It's just time, everyone. So please send me your email address. Everybody got it?
Yes.
Hey, Pastor.
All right. Yes, sir.
Pastor, I'm just trying to get the names down. So Deborah was the one that prayed for us. Then we have Tara. Mm-hmm. Then we have Dewan, Sister Wanda, my mom, you. Who's the other lady? What's her name? I'm trying to know the name.
Well, you got Sister Hawanda, Deborah. You also had Brother Anthony Irby on the line.
Yep.
Tara.
And then Tara. And then there was another, the one that said the, I thought Deborah, Sister Deborah was the one that did the analogy with not having to be in church, but.
No, Sister Donna Freeman.
Donna. Okay. Donna. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Right, I got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Donna, Deborah.
Got it?
Okay. Yeah, got it. I just trying to get to know everybody's name and stuff.
Okay. Not right. Freeman, Pastor. Not Freeman. Right. Gonzalez. Gonzalez.
Oh, Donna
right.
Gonzalez. I'm sorry, Donna. Thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. In fact, Alachi, you should start keeping minutes, names and so forth and so on, because we want to get them in CRM so we can send people out greetings for the holidays, birthday greetings. It's time for us to go to work.
Yeah.
It's really time for us to go to work.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Love you all with the love of Christ. And you
love
all have
you
my,
too,
I think everybody has my number.
Love
Thank you.
You.
Yeah,
God bless.
I think everybody has my number, but if you don't, that number is 608-630-7278. My phone is always on and always with me. So
what's
if there's ever anything, 7278. 630-7278.
Got it.
Right. All right. Love
Thank
you all. Have
you
a great night.
Love you all.
God bless.
You as well.
God bless.
God bless you.
Good night, brothers
and
sisters.
Good night,
brothers.
Good night.
Good night, brothers.
Good night.